Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the DCM Shriram Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Rangnekar from CDR India for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ryan. Good evening and welcome to DCM Shriram Limited's Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Ajay Shriram, Chairman and Senior Managing Director, Mr. Ajit Shriram, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Aditya Shriram, Deputy Managing Director, and Mr. Amit Agarwal, Group CFO of the company. We shall commence with remarks from Mr. Ajay Shriram and Mr. Ajit Shriram. Members of the audience will get an opportunity to ask their questions to the management following these comments during the interactive question-and-answer session. Before we begin, please note that some of the statements made on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and a note to that effect has been included in the conference call invitation that has been circulated earlier and is also available on the stock exchange websites. I would now like to invite Mr. Ajay Shriram to give us a brief overview. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Siddharth. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to all of you. Thank you for taking our time and joining us today to discuss the company's performance around Q1 of financial year 2023 results.
26.
26 results, sorry. I shall commence with views on the industry dynamics and our strategic direction, following which Ajit will share the financial perspectives. The global economic growth projections continue to be lower. While headline inflation is soft across most regions, tariff-driven cost pressures and geopolitical rifts continue to challenge policymakers with significant risks to market disruptions. Many emerging and developing economies face headwinds from reduced exports, lower commodity prices, tighter financial conditions, and elevated debt burdens, putting their growth perspectives and development goals at risk. While India is impacted by these global developments, there is higher resilience given the domestic demand, policy fundamentals, and strategic fiscal interventions. The RBI's rate cuts and the government's continued support for infrastructure creation and manufacturing have created economic momentum. Our company is well-positioned to benefit from India's growth and has, over the years, taken steps to fortify presence across its businesses. Our investments have been aimed at augmenting capacities and adjacencies through integration, optimizing costs, and staying competitive across business cycles. We continue to leverage digital platforms to enhance customer experience, streamline operations, and deliver more efficient services across all touchpoints. We remain committed to follow sustainability as a guiding principle in all our existing and proposed investments. I will now share with you the industry dynamics across our businesses. First, I'll take up chemicals. With uncertainties on U.S. tariffs and deepening geopolitical conflicts, global caustic soda market was impacted, with demand reducing from key end-use industries such as aluminum, textiles, and paper. China continued to participate aggressively in the international market, leading to oversupply. The prices of caustic soda that have reached about $500 per metric ton FOB last year have retracted to $450 per metric ton, signaling softness in prices. India's caustic soda market continued to be oversupplied, with current capacity of approximately 6.5 million metric tons operating at 80% capacity utilization. Chlorine prices also have been under pressure, owing to oversupply coupled with subdued demand of chlorine derivatives. Our capacity utilization is 80% and is ramping up gradually. We are also witnessing benefits in our cost-saving initiatives, especially in power. Hydrogen peroxide, which goes in the existing caustic use segments like pulp and paper, textiles and water treatment, is growing at a healthy rate. We are focusing on building our market share. The plant is operating at about 65% capacity utilization. Our target this year is to reach over 80% capacity utilization. The trial runs of the ECS plant have started, and the utilities like glycerin purification, etc., are fully operational. We will be commissioning within this quarter, and the capacity ramp-up will happen within the next few quarters. Our acquisition of Hindustan Speciality Chemicals Limited marks our foray into advanced materials and epoxy resin segment. The transaction is in line with our policy of growing into adjacencies through backward and forward integration. This acquisition shall help in giving us a jump start into this business and provide us a platform for faster growth. Work on our aluminum chloride and calcium chloride capacities at Bharuch continues as per timelines. In line with our objectives, our green initiatives and cost efficiency programs continue to underscore growth initiatives. The additional injection of 6.6 megawatts of green power at Bharuch has started in this quarter, taking the total peak renewable power availability at Bharuch to 50 megawatts. The 68 megawatt renewable power project for Kota is progressing as per schedule. The benefits of the CAPEX programs in our chemical businesses have started showing results by providing volume-driven growth. Successful completion of the plans under implementation, along with capacity utilization reaching optimum levels, shall further aid in this growth. Vinyls. Global PVC demand has remained subdued and global trends continue to indicate softer prices of PVC. While India remains a spot of confidence, support by construction and agricultural activities, China continues to redirect surplus PVC to global markets, impacting domestic Indian PVC prices negatively. The Supreme Court interim order has cleared the way for a comprehensive anti-dumping investigation into imports PVC by DGTR, the Director General of Trade and Remedies, overruling the Gujarat High Court stay. Once imposed, it will bring some respite to the low-cost import prices. The cost structure in our vinyl business has improved. We will continue to optimize production between PVC and carbide in order to derive optimal margins from this business. Sugar and ethanol. Global sugar demand for sugar season 24-25 is expected to be higher than the supply, leading to a reduction of 4 million metric tons in the inventory levels for the current year. This was mainly due to lower production in India over the previous year by 5.8 million metric tons. The Indian sugar season 24-25 is expected to end with a stock of 5.2 million metric tons with production estimate of 26.3 million metric tons after diversion of approximately 3.3 million metric tons for ethanol production, consumption of 28 million metric tons and export of about 1 million metric tons. Current prices are around Rs 4,020 per quintal and are expected to remain range-bound. The demand in Q1 was subdued and is expected to pick up in the coming quarter. On the ethanol front, the Government of India is planning to increase the target of ethanol blending in petrol and start its mixing with diesel. As of 31st May 2025, ethanol blending in petrol has reached 19%. This bodes well for the ethanol industry. However, in a regressive move, the UP government has recently leveled export fees on ethanol exported outside the state of Uttar Pradesh retrospectively from 2018 in view of a judgment from the Supreme Court. Further, the increase in sugar and ethanol prices has not fully compensated for the increase in sugar cane and grains prices for ethanol. These steps are regressive in nature and stall the growth of the industry. In this backdrop, it is important to review and overhaul the sugar policy framework in order to make it remunerative in the long run for the farmers as well as manufacturers. Our compressed biogas plant, commissioned in March 25, is operating at about 90% capacity utilization. Fenesta Building Systems. The company remains committed to expanding its market footprint by deepening the reach of its current offerings and broadening its portfolio through the development of new platforms. Our sales strategy is focused around enriching the customer journey through ensuring long-term sustainable growth. Meanwhile, our aluminium extrusion project is advancing as per schedule. We have successfully acquired 53% equity stake in DNV Global Private Limited, a company operating in the hardware space. These strategic actions are set to reinforce our position as an integrated solution provider in the building materials domain and support the creation of enduring stakeholder value. Moving on, the agri-input businesses portfolio comprises of Shriram Farm Solutions, fertilizer, and the bioseed business. Shriram Farm Solutions first. This is a consumer-facing business and it continues its growth momentum. The company's growth trajectory was led by both robust volume expansion as well as better prices. Demonstrating agility amid climatic fluctuations, the company ensured timely deployment of need-based solutions and introduced scientifically developed crop nutrition products that strengthened the crop tolerance to stress conditions. Notably, in the current quarter, SFS has launched 8 new products in crop protection and specialty plant nutrient verticals, including 2 new products from our own R&D. The business continues to focus on its own R&D collaborations and exclusive arrangements to bring the new age products and global technologies to Indian farmers. Fertilizer. On the backdrop of early onset of monsoon, higher rain expectations and lower imports, the urea demand is expected to be healthy. As the stability in the urea industry persists, we are committed to energy efficiency and boosting operational effectiveness. India has seen stable allocation to subsidies, translating into smoother transfers to producers. Bioseed. Bioseed turnaround is gaining momentum, underpinned by a broader hybrid seed range that is fueling growth across core segments. The expansion in corn cultivation, driven by attractive crop economies and rising ethanol demand, along with strong paddy performance, has boosted overall results. However, cotton acreage is likely to drop for third consecutive year, with organized sector in cotton seed taking a deeper cut in volumes. I will now request Ajit to provide the financial perspectives. Ajit, over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I will now take you through the financial highlights for the quarter. Net revenues for Q1 FY26 were at 3262 crores versus 2876 crores last year, an increase of 13% year-on-year. PBDIT for Q1 FY26 was at rupees 326 crores versus 274 crores in Q1 FY25, an increase of 19% year-on-year. Chemicals. The business reported an increase in revenue of 43% year-on-year, led by caustic soda volumes that were up 20% on account of the new 850 tons per day facility that was made operational in May 2024. PBDIT increased by 68% owing to lower input prices, particularly energy prices and efficiencies from the 120 megawatt power plant. The excess capacities in India is creating pressure on product prices, especially chlorine. However, the downstream projects such as hydrogen peroxide and aluminium fluoride commissioned last year has also supported the revenue growth. We expect volume-driven growth to continue with operationalization of our projects under implementation and capacity ramp-up. Vinyls. The vinyl business had flat revenue at ₹209 crores in the quarter versus 211 crores in the quarter last year. The volumes of both PVC and carbide were higher. However, prices were down by 17% for PVC. Last year, there was a one-time positive impact of ₹16 crores each because of reversal of electricity duty on auxiliary consumption in vinyl as well as chemicals. Sugar and ethanol. Sugar and ethanol business revenue net of excise duty was lower by 14% in the quarter. Domestic sugar volumes were lower by 23% due to lower offtake. Volumes of ethanol were in line. Prices for both ethanol and sugar were slightly better. PBDIT for the segment was lower at negative rupees 7 crores versus a positive 37 crores in last year, as increase in prices did not compensate for the increase in cost of production. There was also a one-time negative impact of roughly rupees 36 crores on account of provision for levy of duty on ethanol exported outside the state of UP, effective 2018. The industry is exploring legal recourse against this levy. Fenesta Building Systems. Fenesta Building Systems revenue increased 21% year-on-year, led by volumes across project and the retail segment. The growth was better than the same period last year. PBDIT for the quarter was similar to last year due to higher fixed expenses for setting up new adjacent businesses, higher marketing expenses and acquisition-related costs. We anticipate continued higher levels of expenditure to support the strategic scaling of our operations and our expansion into newer adjacencies. The order book continues to be healthy. Shriram Farm Solutions. Shriram Farm Solutions revenue increased by 29% year-on-year, supported by volumes across verticals, especially crop protection. The prices were also better across the verticals, except slight moderation in crop protection vertical. PBDIT for the quarter was higher by 22% on account of better margins. Despite higher marketing expenses, focused on strengthening of the Shriram brand and higher R&D expenditure. Fertilizers. The fertilizer revenue was higher by 19% year-on-year. PBDIT was also higher by 65%, led by volumes and better energy efficiency, as there was a maintenance shutdown in the last year. In the current quarter, there is a one-time positive impact of roughly 24 crores on account of revision in the retention price of financial year 2023. Last year also, there was a one-time positive impact of roughly 20 crores on account of recovery of marketing margin. Outstanding fertilizer subsidy was at rupees 236 crores as against 133 crores in the last year. Bioseeds. The segment saw a revenue increase of 30% year-on-year. Some of it, especially in Philippines, is a timing difference. PBDIT increased by 46%. The improvement is led by better margins across crop segments of corn and paddy. The company's net debt at rupees 1481 crores as on June 30th, 2025, as against 1459 crores as on June 30th, 2024. Return on capital employed for June 2025 came in slightly lower at 13% as compared to 14% for June 2024. Since capex incurred on the projects will start yielding returns in the forthcoming quarters. By maintaining rigorous financial discipline, we ensure a robust balance sheet that supports agile investments in strengthening existing and adjacent businesses and cost-saving initiatives. That concludes my opening remarks, and I request the moderator to please open the forum for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, team, and congrats for a superb performance. I have a few questions to ask on the chemical side. Sir, when we see our Q1 performance for the caustic soda business, our PBDIT has improved by close to around 3 rupees 20 paisa per kg as compared to 2 rupees and 40 paisa per kg in Q1 of FY25. So, just wanted to understand, like, the PBDIT improvement of 3 rupees 20 paisa versus ECU improvement of 2 rupees 40 paisa. The difference comes to around 80 paisa per kg. So, if you can just help us understand, was it all because of the savings in power or some fixed cost optimization also would have helped us in the improved performance?
See, the improvement in EBITDA is function of two things essentially. One is the improvement in product prices, which as you mentioned have been better than last year. Second is variable, and even the variable costs have been lower. So variable cost ballpark have been lower by about 10 to 12%. So these are the two key reasons, and in within variable cost, the major reason is the power cost. Power cost also had two components. One, because the power rate was lower, given that the fuel rate was lower than same period last year. And the efficiencies, as was mentioned in the chairman's message as well, from the 120 megawatt power plant, that also added. So mix of quite a few factors.
Correct. And sir, when we have commissioned the plant for the expansion of 850 TPD caustic soda and 120 megawatt power plant at Bharuj, let's say before that our fixed cost was 100, how much our fixed cost would have gone up with the commissioning of these two capacities?
It's difficult to give you a number on by how much pertaining to these two facilities. See, overall, you know, the chemical business is in a growth mode. Now, therefore, again, it has to hire for newer capabilities. Like, for example, if we are looking at, you know, growing in epoxy, the capabilities for epoxy were hired almost about a year back, at least the critical capabilities. So it's a, you know, mix of, you know, creating the entire infrastructure of capabilities. And as we have growth mode, these expenses will go up overall.
Got it, got it. And sir, just an add-on on this, just we divide the production volumes, possibly we would have required 220 megawatts of power for our caustic soda business in Q1 of FY26. So what was the mix of power between the renewables and our captive power plant?
So our renewable average that we get in Q1 was about 24-25 megawatt against the total requirement. So what we produced during the quarter averaged at about 2,200, yeah, you're right. So therefore, that only about 25-26 megawatt came from renewable.
Correct. Sir, second question is on the epoxy side, like the acquired asset has a capacity of 17,000 tons. So it is all predominantly the LER capacity, or does it also include some downstream capacities as well?
You're right. Yes, it does include some downstream capacity as well. But again, this would be the starting point for us, and we will use this acquisition to for entry into the business and also for further growth. So we expect to grow the capacities relatively soon.
Correct, correct. So one of the interview statement you also mentioned that we intend to almost triple our capacities for the epoxy business. So given the kind of expansion what we are looking at, what could be the timeline one could expect on for this expansion A, and B, what sort of capex would be required if we decide to go ahead with the expansion?
So it will be hard to share some of those details at this point, but the team is evaluating various technologies and of various capacities, and once the board approves these expansions, that will be announced.
Got it. The last bit from my side, if you can share the market size of LER as well as the specialized epoxy market in India, that would be very helpful.
See, the total market size of epoxy, the liquid epoxy resin and its formulations put together is about 200 kilotons per annum as on date, and expected to grow to about 300 in next 3 years.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best. I'll join back in the queue for further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ahmed Mada from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on good set of numbers. I'll carry the question of the epoxy side. Can you give a little more explanation in detail regarding the business on few aspects? One is, you mentioned about the increasing capacity, but what we understand is there is enough supply in India to sort of cater the domestic market. So how do you see the export side of the epoxy and what countries? If you can give some sense how you are pursuing the business in terms of increasing the capacity and utilizing it. And secondly, how much of the ECH which we have planned capacity will be used internally? So that's my question on epoxy.
So epoxy, you're right, there is adequate supply of epoxy in the market right now. But what we are seeing is that there is a healthy growth in the market for epoxy. So as was mentioned already by our CFO, we expect the demand for epoxy to go up from roughly 200 KT to 300 KT per annum in the next 3 to 4 years. So I think that will help in absorbing the increased capacity, which we will also be coming up with. Additionally, we will of course focus on domestic demand, but we will also focus on exports. So we will cater to the global market. And I think with our cost structures being relatively competitive, and we'll have to closely monitor the tariffs that are being levied across globally, I think it positions us well for growth in the years to come.
And Emma, just to add, lot of capacities in Europe from players like Huntsman, Westlake, Collin, they are being proposed to be shut down, especially the liquid epoxy facility, and they probably would like to focus more on formulation. So that will also, make liquid epoxy resin from India a global product. And further, a lot of these wind manufacturers are coming to India to manufacture blades and things like that. So I think there's a lot of growth which is expected to happen within Indian market and global market for India to be a key player.
Got it. And can you answer on the epichlorohydrin part? What percentage will be using internally, and roughly what kind of a margin range you think is sustainable in epoxy business?
So I think it will depend as our capacities grow. Currently, it will be a smaller percentage of our ECH which will be consumed captively. But as we expand our capacity for epoxy, then a larger percentage of the ECH will be consumed captively. So as therefore we will grow ECH as well in the times to come. Since this is a growth vertical for us, it will be a dynamic number. But the advantage of being across the value chain helps position us, reasonably well for this business.
Got it. On the margin improvement part, you explained about the cost structure in terms of reducing coal cost as well as variable cost. I had a question on the increase in the captive chlorine consumption. So if I do the numbers, I mean, your caustic volumes are up 20%, but if I look at the value-added business in the caustic chlorine segment, it looks the number is up 70-80% because we have commercialized new capacities for aluminum chloride, hydrogen peroxide and so on. So in terms of percentage terms, has our chlorine captive use increased materially in last 3 to 4 quarters? If you can quantify the percentage number, or you can even give the from the base of 100 how it is moved.
So so we actually look at it in two parts. One is the captive chlorine consumption directly, but secondly also is our pipeline customers. So in the last 30 odd years, you know, we have grown, and our pipeline customers have, you know, have also grown. They are our valued customers, and we have a very strong relationship with them. So after the current expansions, we expect approximately 40% of our chlorine to be consumed captively in Jhagadia, in Bharuch, and approximately 30% will be with pipeline customers. So roughly 70% across captive and pipeline customers will be consumed in the complex.
This 70% includes the commercialization of ECH as well?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, got it. And in March, we had a board meeting regarding the corporate restructuring, and we had some update in last call as well. Would you like to comment how the timelines are shaping up? How is the discussion going on the board level? If you can give some sense at what level we have reached, and when can we assume that it will be formalized?
See, this is under discussion with the board level as well as internally our own management of this entire exercise. It is a major exercise where our finance team and other teams are working with consultants and others. What is the best way? What is the best time? How can we take it forward as rapidly as possible? So we are hoping the next few months we take it up to the board for their approval and then apply to the government for various permissions and clearances, which is a fairly unfortunate, lengthy and complicated process. But we hope in a couple of months to take it to the board.
Okay, got it. Last question on the epichlorohydrin part. I mean, we had a delay of nearly 2 years if I go back to the original timelines. But is it fair to assume that all the process-related, component-related issues have been resolved and it will be fully commercialized from Q3? Or do you think still one, two pieces are yet to be done?
Yes, so the timeline for completion of the project has been longer than what we had originally anticipated. But we are happy to note now that we have started trial runs of the plant, and we expect to announce commissioning in the next couple of weeks and then ramp up in the next few quarters.
Noted. Just one question on the farm solutions business.
Interrupt you there. If you could please join back the queue, as there are others waiting for their chance.
Sure. Definitely. Thank you. I'll come back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Pujan Shah from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My first question pertains to the PVC side. So in the industry perspective, we have seen there was a hike of 3.5 rupees per kg in April and May. While in our PPT, we are mentioning there is a price correction of 17%. So I'm not able to gauge. So can you just please correct my understanding?
Yeah, so see, PVC prices have been soft. If you see in our presentation itself, we have mentioned that PVC prices from April onwards, and actually if you look at even Q4 of last year, where they were very good in January, 76 and then 76,000, and they came down in April and May they came down to 66,000-67,000. So they are currently continuing at that level.
So can we read that stuff that initially what the price hike was being announced has been has been again tempered to the previous level because there is a continuous dumping from the Chinese end?
I'm not very clear. Can you just repeat your question? Or maybe you can,
sure,
you know, if you're on the speaker, if you can be on the
handphone. You are audible now, sir?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. Sir, just wanted to understand that so if there was a price hike of 3.5 rupees per kg, so can we just read out that the price increase has been again came back to the same level as this, there is a continuous dumping from the Chinese end?
I'm frankly not aware of this price hike, because these prices, what we are giving you, we are also giving you the international prices as well and the Indian prices as well. But yes, you're right. The major reason for this is the continuous dumping from China and the delay in imposition of anti-dumping duty in India.
And sir, in the today's outcome, we have seen there is a precursor has been announced from the DGTR for the ADD purpose. And might it get converted into a final findings. So just wanted to understand in a broader perspective that how much PVC prices from Chinese, and I understand the duty may be vary from country to country, but just wanted to understand as the dumping continues from the China, so if ADD comes, so what could be the industry pricing? Can, like, it would be around 73-74 rupees a kg. And if it happens, what margins which we will able to put in? So it will be a break even or flattish around 1-2% EBIT level, or how it will be, we should read on that part.
Well, frankly, on this issue of ADD, what you said is right. The DGTR, in fact, has made out the report today. And they have actually now made it public today, or they are going to make it public this evening or tomorrow. And waiting for, I think, maybe a week, 10 days to get a feedback on that report. Thereafter, it is expected that the report will go to the Finance Ministry. And the Finance Ministry, we hope, will take action on it quickly. As you are aware, there is a court case also being filed by one of the users. And there, the issue in that is that they are talking, or they have talked about a couple of grades of PVC. So the industry is saying that the decision on the grades of PVC had to be taken by the DGTR. They are the ones who are qualified and educated to understand the various grades and the uses of those grades. So that has now come to the DGTR. They are taking action on it. We sincerely hope that in the next couple of weeks' time, it goes to the Finance Ministry, and from there then they take action so that we are protected. Our expectation is that the price increase should be in the range of at least 6-7 rupees a kilo to start with. Once the ADD comes in, which all countries they bring it in, we are not sure as yet. But I think China is the main concern right now for the industry, which we are working on with the government.
Okay, and so for Bhujan, understanding,
I would request you to please join the queue. Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Raj Vyas from TM Investment Technologies Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I guess last time you had given a revenue guidance of around 10-15%, right? And I guess margins were around 11-14%. So for FY26, for the remaining quarters, do we see the numbers in line, or we are making some bit of changes to the top line as well as the margins?
Yeah, we do expect our numbers to be in this range for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Especially, you know, Q3 and Q4 should help us make up because there's seasonality in our business. So Q3, Q4 should help us make up the deficit.
But I just want to add, ladies and gentlemen, that you are seeing the geopolitics of the world. You are seeing the way the U.S. is moving on their trades, on their tariffs, and they make one level today, another one tomorrow. So we are hoping that India can come to some agreement with the U.S. on the at least some fundamental trade terms, so we have some stability in policy. Otherwise, the uncertainty is very high.
Okay. So coming to the tariff point, how we are looking at the chemical business, because in the press release we have mentioned that the global caustic soda supply chain is disrupted because of the tariff then. So how we are looking things presently, currently, how it is like shaping, because it will shape up for next quarter's performance as well.
So as we have shared, there is unpredictability going forward for all types of businesses, including for caustic soda. India was not exporting any caustic soda directly to the U.S. Neither was China exporting any caustic soda directly to the U.S. So there is no direct impact, but there will be second order and third order effects in terms of the demand from the consuming industries, including aluminium. Or if China exports more to other countries, which it has started doing, so that impacts the global flow of caustic soda. So we'll have to see how this all plays out. But fundamentally, if the demand supply remains balanced, then we expect it to be a reasonable situation for the coming quarters and years.
Okay. So lastly, my question is with respect to the acquisition that we have made in Hindustan Specialty Chemicals. So though it was a loss-making company, so why we have picked up a loss-making company? And second question with respect to same is, when do we see the company like break-even, coming to profitability in numbers?
So for us, actually, this is a strategic decision and a strategic acquisition. The board had approved previously that we will be investing 1,000 crore into the advanced materials, which is the epoxy business. So this is the first major step in that direction. You're right that today some of the cost structures of this organization are not optimal. Luckily for us, with all the backward integration that we have, we will have our own ECH which will move by pipeline. We have our own caustic which will move by pipeline. Utilities which are at optimal cost. So these initiatives or these advantages will help us improve the cost structure for the company. And as we grow, so we will look to grow. So with growth, we will get benefits of scale. We will cater to new markets which are higher value-added markets. So we expect this becomes an important starting point for our advanced materials business.
Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you for answering my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. And my two questions are from the Shriram Farm Solutions vertical. So firstly, sir, if I'm not wrong, we had launched around 7 to 8 products last financial year under this segment. Wanted to understand how much percentage of our total revenue has come from, especially this growth part of 29% volume has come from our new product launches.
Yeah. So the way to look at the new product launches is, as you rightly said, we have launched about 17 products in crop protection and crop nutrition vertical. In seeds vertical within that business, we keep launching new products to maintain the life cycle of seeds and to add to the revenue. Within crop protection and crop nutrition, these new products that are launched, they obviously take time to gather momentum, which is about, let's say, it takes about 1 to 2 years to gather momentum. So the way we assess and benchmark our success of new products is how they performed over, the product which have been introduced in last 2-3 years, what has been the revenue of that. Now that is, if I see in FY25 for the full year basis, that was about 20% of the products that were launched in last 2 years. Now that's a very good benchmark. So generally industries put that benchmark at about 20 to 30% of the revenue. So we are pretty much there. And we are getting more aggressive on that. So out of those 17 products, 8 products were launched in Q1. So yeah, we have got a good pipeline. So we look forward.
Also, sir, wanted to understand our capital employed base has almost doubled when it comes to Shriram Farm Solutions. Wanted to understand, is it primarily because of any new capital expenditure that we have done, or is it because some part of R&D expenses are getting capitalized?
So it is neither of the two. It is essentially all working capital, and it depends on the seasonality and various factors of the business. So they will all be, on average basis, we will be more or less at the same level as last year. But the other point is, since we are growing the business, let's say we are expecting higher volumes in research, we overall higher volumes in the business, and therefore the working capital also is higher, along with some bit of timing differences.
Okay, okay. I mean, considering our quarter two is the strongest quarter amongst all quarter, and we have enough idea of how the business would be in quarter two. Primarily because of that, any inventory, stocking, etc. Is it the right way to read it?
So if I understood you correctly, you mentioned quarter two is the strongest quarter for SFS, right?
Right, right.
But actually it's quarter three which is the strongest quarter, because some of its major products get sold in quarter three, Rabi season.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Got it. Yeah, that's all from us.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take follow-up questions from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, two clarifications.
Yeah.
So one on the value-added products for the caustic chlorine business. So what does it all include? If you can just correct me here, like my assumption shows that it also includes our flaker plant, hydrogen peroxide, the hydrogen what we sell in the outside market, and chlorine derivatives. So is it the right assumption to work with?
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely. That's right. So the chlorine downstream would be epichlorohydrin, aluminum chloride, calcium chloride.
Correct, correct. And sir, what would be a rough contribution from these value-added products in Q1 of FY26?
See, I do not have the numbers right away, but just to mention that caustic and flakes, they continue to be the major contributors, and hydrogen. These three products continue to be major contributors. Others that we recently introduced, so they are going through, you know, their life cycle of market development and cost ramp, capacity ramp up.
Correct, correct. Sir, second question is on the chlorine realizations for Q1 of FY26, because last quarter you mentioned that it was close to around 6.50 rupees negative. So if you can share the similar figures for this quarter as well.
So that's about a similar level on average. If we put both our Kota and Bharuch units together, it's in the same range of around 6.5-7 rupees as for Q1.
Correct. And sir, last bit is on the ECH plant. So what I could make out from the annual report is that we are also having our own refined glycerin plant. So we would be importing the crude glycerin, converting into refined, and then possibly to ECH. So just wanted to understand from you what sort of benefits it could accrue to us if we haven't put up this plant and would have bought directly the refined glycerin without converting crude to the refined one. If you can share your thought process here, would be very helpful.
So there is a margin which comes in when you convert from crude glycerin to refined glycerin. So in a way that is like a backward integration for us. So we hope to capture that margin as well, and then do further value addition to ECH and to epoxy and beyond. So we will actually be across this value chain.
Okay. Sir, is it safe to assume that it accrues close to around anywhere between 5 to 10 rupees on a depending upon the prices of what the products put together, on a run rate basis, is a benefit of 5 to 10 rupees per kg is a benefit which could accrue to us if we keep on converting crude to the refined glycerin. Is the right assumption to make?
I think it will be hard to share an exact range of numbers at this point. But yes, it enables the business to be much more robust and allows us to optimize our purchase decisions.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers. First question is in terms of the capital allocation. Now, we have also gone ahead with downstream integration in terms of the inorganic initiative. How are we looking at from individual business perspective where the incremental capital will likely be deployed? And in regards to that, are we building up any capabilities in-house to get into maybe further or making inroads into certain other streams or other areas? Thank you.
You see, capital allocation, one, for us, there are, you know, the capital intensive businesses are essentially chemicals and sugar and ethanol. So here are two capital intensive businesses. The other two businesses which are, you know, more focused in terms of growth are Farm Solutions and Fenesta. There the capital requirement is lower. So that is point number one. The second is the capital allocation can be for organic or inorganic route. And it will all be a function of need of the business, our, you know, growth agenda and the return. So we have particular financial principles or the hurdle rates before we make an investment. So the capital allocation, so there is fundamental, which is chemicals, sugar, and the other two businesses. But then each of the businesses can have the capital requirement depending on the opportunity, and that becomes the basis to decide. But we want to grow all these four businesses very aggressively.
Got that. The second question, historically we have been only focused from the domestic market perspective, given all business segments have been catering to the domestic market. Is there any change in terms of thought process that we are also looking at the exports market? And what gives us confidence that we will be able to make our mark in the exports market in any of the product streams? Thank you.
So see, again, that is again based on the opportunity. Like what we mentioned in epoxy, we do see export market picking up, right? And therefore, we've invested in epoxy and we feel that some part of our production will get into exports. But yes, we will still continue to be largely a domestic player, whatever product we have right now, but we are open to opportunities for exports. Like in Fenesta, we are growing our exports market in a small way. In seeds, we are growing our export market. So we are looking at those opportunities. But yes, majority still continues to be domestic.
Yeah. Thanks for answering all the questions and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sneha from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask a very specific question regarding the UP tax on sugar that you talked about. Could you elaborate on that a bit more and how much impact did we see? And was it for like the companies who are based out of UP? Like, what is the thing that I wanted to understand that?
Export. So, see, there was a 9-bench Supreme Court judgment in a particular case wherein, you know, the Supreme Court decided that the denatured alcohol, which is ethanol is kind of a denatured alcohol, is at par with the potable alcohol, which is fit for human consumption. Right, so they have put in the same list which empowers the state to levy charges on or regulate the denatured alcohol as well. Earlier, the denatured alcohol was in control of the center. So as soon as the judgment came, which also reversed a judgment which came in 1990, so the state government came out and the UP state government, they came out with a notification to levy 1% export duty on any ethanol which is exported out of the state of Uttar Pradesh with a retrospective from 2018. So that's where it stands. Now, whether and we are looking at legal recourse if available, so we will take it accordingly as an industry.
So this was the first quarter we were impacted by that?
Yeah, so because we made a provision on a conservative basis, because the demand also was raised by the state, also we have not paid the demands. But on a conservative basis, we thought we will account for it from 2018. So this entire amount that we have mentioned in our results, about 36-37 crores, pertains to amount from 2018 onwards, till date.
That's it. Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the follow-up questions from the line of Ahmed Mada from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. For the farm solution business, I had a question. What I understand is our portfolio today is still majority wheat and rabi focused. Is there any thinking on building a kharif crop portfolio and any views on the same, please?
You know, our entire range of products of seeds, we are expanding it continuously. So at the moment, wheat is of course the major crop, research wheat, which is a major crop which we are selling. But we are also getting into vegetables in a stronger way. We are also getting into other crops in a stronger way. So our plan is to have a range of products which will be able to be sold throughout the course of the year depending on the seasonal requirements based on the planting season. So we're going to expand our range. We are moving ahead with that. And that's part of our growth plan.
And if I may just add, it is also that there are two other verticals which we want to grow a little more aggressively than what they are right now. So even plant nutrition, where we set up our own manufacturing about a year back, and crop protection. There also we started our own formulation unit on a lease basis. So I think we will focus on them as well to grow a little more aggressively. So I think that will balance out the revenue quarter on quarter.
Okay, got it. And for the CAPEX part, obviously we made two good acquisitions for Hindustan Specialty and DNV Global. On the organic side with the renewable power plant, aluminium chloride capacity and Fenesta, what will be the broad organic capex expected in FY26?
So you're saying in terms of the cash outflow on organic capex?
Yeah, cash out.
Yeah, so that should be in the range of around 600 to 700 crores.
Can you give the breakup of the same if possible?
See, about 300 odd crores is because on aluminum chloride and calcium chloride, and I think about 100 crores should be on aluminum extrusion, and then there'll be few others.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pujan Shah from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Sir, just continuation with the previous question. So, let's suppose I understand the carbide. We manufacture PVC from the carbide route, and let's suppose the RM prices remain the same, and let's suppose the ADD comes through the place, and let's suppose the hypothetical example that the price of what we have assumed of 6-7 rupees per kg. It becomes a realization for us. So do you think that we can make an EBITDA margin of 5 to 7% on a blended basis, assuming capacity utilization remains 100%?
Yeah. So see, even today, even Q1, my EBITDA margin was about 7%. So I think it should only increase from here. By about 4 to 5% if the prices grow by 6-7 rupees.
Okay, so So base case assumption is, so there won't be any hike in the car, so our RM for the PVC, right? Right now, because we have, for the enough capacity has been available, for the RM purposes. So that makes a better sense, so that at least our EBITDA margin would reach around in 10%-11% in once ATD comes into place.
See, in our business, both when input prices are largely the carbon prices, it's anybody's guess that what they should be. We would always expect them to be stable. So, it's very difficult to say whether raw material prices will remain at these levels or not. We do work on improving efficiencies and improving our cost structures, but input rates can vary.
Right, got it. And my last question on the caustic soda part. So we have seen a price increase. So could you state a reason? So do you think it's a structural, and that this price would stable from here on, or it would might impact because industry is already running at 80% capacity utilization, and we are currently, we are also operating at 80%. Now the industry doesn't have more room to at least grow at a increase in the capacity because that will deploy more chlorine, and that will impact the margins ultimately. So do you feel that the price will remain stable from here on, and that might be inch up coming quarters?
So, it's of course hard to predict, how prices will evolve for commodities, including caustic soda. There are many factors, including domestic and global factors at play. But we do expect prices, again in the medium term, to be range bound or to move up, in the medium term.
Okay. Thank you so much. That is from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your participation in our earnings conference call. In a world marked by economic fragmentation, shifting trade flows, and geopolitical instability, businesses must remain agile and forward-looking. Our company is well-positioned to capitalize on these trends. We have consistently invested to expand capacities, improve integration, and enhance competitiveness across cycles. We harness digital platforms and embedding sustainability across operations. Our recently concluded CapEx programs sets the stage for the next chapter of volume-driven profitable growth, anchored in operational excellence and a strong balance sheet. Thank you very much once again.
Thank you. On behalf of DCM Shriram Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.